All right, welcome to the ACN Sports Podcast. We wanted to get some intro music because we have the real American in office. That's right. Hailing from Florence, Texas, via Bastrop in Smithville. Welcome to the ACN Podcast, Chris Dukes.
Well, you know, I would rip my shirt off, but it's the only one I have right now, so we're just going to go with, we'll go with a quick cup of the hand.
That's right.
You guys know how to make someone feel welcome here.
Duke's Mania running wild today. You want to know something, Mean Gene? We've got District 17-4A to talk about. I'm Joe Harrington, the Round Rock leader in Pflugerville Flag.
And I'm Sean Shapiro, Cedar Park Lander Statesman.
This is the ACN North Podcast, or whatever title you want to give us. We're still open for that. We've been doing it since February, but we're still open for a different type of name. We're ACN Podcast.
Yeah, that's kind of been the sticking point so far, but we're always open for better suggestions.
We're trying to figure out where we're
sponsorships.
Sponsorships. We're still trying to figure out where we're going to be put on the website. Last week we were on the front page. I think this week we won't be on the front page.
We're trying to figure that out. So.
We're being very diplomatic on that.
We're not trying to figure that out. People are trying to figure that out for us.
Sean and I are even talking about turning the podcast into a vodcast. We'll have to see. If we do, we'll definitely have to trim the beards. We can tell we've been covering football.
I noticed that the first podcast we did over the summer, we were all pretty clean shaven and looked well rested. It's already set in. Fatigue is setting in a little bit. Everybody is slurping down coffee and sporting several days' growth worth of beard.
Mm-hmm. Just to build my coffee stamina up, I went almost 2 months without drinking a single cup of coffee.
How jittery were you on that first cup?
I was pretty jazzed up to drink my first cup of coffee after like a month and a half.
So did you actually get more of the pre-coffee high of the excitement of the energy coming from it than actual coffee itself?
I don't
know, because
like I never really like. It's funny. I would like wake up in the middle of the night and like have like itches because I drink so much coffee. But other than that, I guess it never really affected my health. other than the terrible nerve damage it gave me. Speaking of nerve damage, my nerves are on edge because it's 17-4A district season starts today. And there are some people that even have the mighty Georgetown Eagles ranked number one in the area. We didn't.
But some people do.
Some people do. Some people have Eastview ranked pretty high. Now, I got some strong opinions on this district. I know Chris probably does too, because in the flag we took a pretty strong look at it. Chris, I don't know if you saw my preview for Connolly, but we can talk about this. So,
yeah,
Chris, go ahead, John.
And I haven't seen much, but I did see. I watched Elgin play live last week, so that'll be my contribution to the conversation. I did see a team that is, I guess, one of the bigger games for 17-4A to start 17-4A play on Friday night.
And I would probably call it the biggest game of the weekend. Elgin and Georgetown. You got the. I mean, they always say to be the man, you got to beat the man. And if Elgin wants to be a front runner, they're gonna have to take down the defending champs this week.
And. We can, Chris will give us a kind of an update on just all these teams. But first, let me say this. Like, I was talking to one of my coaches in District 16-5A yesterday. And I won't mention who, but I mean, he was saying, you know, it's like, you look at 17-4A, it's a tough district, but I'm gonna be out there that maybe, besides Connolly, who I thought played, you know, a 5A playoff team and probably had the toughest non-district game on the slate in Leander, which Maynard also had.
Mm-hmm.
The four teams did not have a tough non-district schedule. There are four teams that are undefeated in this district. Their combined opponents' record is 9-26. That's the combined undefeated team's opponent's record.
Wow.
I don't know who had the who has the better win. There's Elgin's win over Leander this week.
Over Vista Ridge.
Over Vista Ridge. And then there's
Maynard beat Leander.
Maynard beat Leander, which is a good one. And then there's Georgetown's win over San Marcos. But still,
I think that one's not quite the same class as the Vista Ridge and the Leander Wynn.
So I just I have to pump the brakes a little bit when people are saying how tough the conference is, and they're good teams in this district. They're great teams in this district, but they didn't exactly play this great non-district schedule. If it's 9-26 is the combined record. Each team that's undefeated has a win over a team that's currently 0-3. I mean, I like Connolly's non-district schedule coming in here because, you know, what, they had Leander, which was, I think, at Leander.
Yeah.
They had Del Valle, which, you know, Del Valle lost to McNeil last week, but Del Valle is a defending 5A playoff team. And then they beat the Jaguars, which is another playoff team. Some of these wins that the other teams have are against teams that didn't even make the playoffs last year. I mean, one Eastview's undefeated with a win over St. Michael's, a tap school. So,
and Reagan, I believe they beat Reagan.
And Reagan. Yeah.
Which are two games that are, for lack of a better word, are the JV programs at some other schools.
Yeah. And, and I think that, I mean, if you look at the what position you're in would really dictate your non-district schedule. I mean, for a team like Eastview, you really want to roll up three wins. You know, get your team used to winning. This is a program that's never, you know, never been in a position to try to make the playoffs before. And, you know, going in 3-0, you've got some confidence. I think that's a good move for them. For a Connolly program, I think get them used to playing tougher competition. You know, you go in 1-2, but that's not going to matter at the end of the year.
And I guess I'd clarify, like, I don't think those teams are bad. I just think they're undefeated. I guess I said 4-0, but they're 3-0. They're undefeated, but they're undefeated playing not playing the same schedule like their crosstown 4A rivals like Leander and Cedar Park.
Yeah,
did.
Like last week we touched on the non-district strength of a bunch of the teams in 25-4A. We talked about how teams like Cedar Park and Leander are playing either 4-5A programs and 1-4A program or 3-5A programs and a 4A program. We looked at the strength of some of their schedule, and this is not saying, as you said, not saying Georgetown, Elgin, Maynard, or Eastview are bad. Just they haven't played, they haven't gone and played a Westlake like a Cedar Park did.
Right.
They haven't gone and played a Hendrickson like Leander did. And
maybe they're taking the approach, because this district is so good, maybe they're taking the SEC approach, whereas, you know, Alabama's probably not going to play a lot of, well, Alabama did play some, they played Virginia Tech, but let's say like LSU is not going to go out and play Ohio State in week one because they're going to play all these great teams in conference play.
They played the power that is the Golden Flashes.
The alma mater. No, but, you know, that's my feeling is maybe they know that how tough district's going to be with seven games, that maybe they're not going to go out and load up the non-district schedule, but more power to the teams that did. Like, Connolly probably saw that they'd have a lot of young kids this year. They knew they were going to be good last year, so they wanted to test themselves. So power to them for scheduling Leander to start the season.
And this is the first, I don't know about the TAP schools because I don't know the size of those districts, but this is the first Austin area district to start district play for most of Central Texas. So we talk about,
think about this. There's a district in Killeen, the 5A district in Killeen, that those teams already had bye weeks because they started district. I think they start district next week. There's so many teams in there that they got to get their bye weeks in early.
Wow.
Yeah.
District 17-4A. I think it's a really good move that everybody has the same bye week after this week. Everybody plays one district game, then they get to go back, look at everything they've done, gear up for that second half of the season, and I think maybe that has a little to do with some of the non-district schedules. I mean, you've got a chance to take a break, look back, see where you are, see what's working, see what isn't working, and get ready for those last six games that are really going to be the meat of your schedule.
So just to clarify, 17-4A, the entire district takes a week off.
Yes, next week.
Interesting.
So here's my question though, is you've got Georgetown at undefeated. And again, there are some people that are saying they're the best team in the area. I think they're just looking at the record. Are they really that much better than Elgin and Maynard? Because I thought Elgin and Maynard were the front runners entering this district. And I still think they are.
I'd still say Elgin is. I had Elgin before the year we talked, and I don't look this district as close as you guys did. But just from hearing things and reading things, I had Elgin as the team that I would have, if you asked me to pick who would win the district, knew it would be a tight race, but I would have said Elgin. And they haven't done anything to, they haven't done anything to diminish that fact, and Georgetown, vice versa, hasn't done anything to leap them over Elgin in my mind.
I think Georgetown's still a playoff team.
I think Georgetown's a playoff team, but I still think in some ways, I mean, 3-0 is 3-0, and being 3-0 is where everybody wants to be at this point, but they're still coasting a little bit off of that reputation they got last year to me. They've got three wins over, I mean, three fairly average teams, and they haven't looked overwhelmingly great in any of those games. I mean, San Marcos was in the game through most of the first half. I mean, the McNeil game, you know.
McNeil played them tough.
Yeah. It's, I don't think that they are sitting, I just don't see them as the number one team in the area, certainly. I don't see that. They got first place vote in the AP poll this last week. Somebody voted them number one in Class 4A. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, it's surprising, but obviously I don't think they get that vote if Cedar Park, you know, doesn't get beat by a field goal against Abilene Cooper. I
honestly,
mean,
and this is a conversation we could go way farther into. If Cedar Park doesn't lose to Cooper, I believe Cedar Park's getting all of the first place votes right now after what they did to Westlake in week one, and then they'd be 3-0, and then with the class sexiest looking win on the resume.
Yeah.
But Georgetown, as you said, has a first place vote, a team that does have that reputation, though, that a lot of the people who may not have followed this team, and we don't know who gave them a first place vote, it may have been someone who saw them as a team that went to the state final game last year.
Mm-hmm.
Is now 3-0, but doesn't realize they graduated 55 or 56 seniors.
Yeah, they're looking at the scores, and you know, McNeil's still a 5A team, and they have a good win over them. They have a win over San Marcos. But, yeah, I feel like they're a good team, but I don't know if they should garner a lot of buzz away from Elgin, which we all know is a really good team, and Maynard, which is a talented team.
And I watched Elgin play last week against Vista Ridge, and Elgin's a team that depth as you go through the season might be an issue for that team. Just the depth, you look at the size of the numbers of their program, they're playing Vista Ridge. Vista Ridge had, it seemed almost like double the amount of kids on the sidelines as Elgin. But the first line talent for Elgin is some of the best I've seen so far in the 4 weeks of first 3 weeks of the season. They have the two Simmons brothers at quarterback and running back who both, I mean, we touched a little bit on this last week. When you're running a read option with your brother, I'm sure the communication is pretty good. And then they also have another pair of twins, the Snells, Kyle and Colin, I believe, who each had an interception last week. I mean, they've got the first line talent, really, I think, to be one of the better, be the best team in this district. It's the depth for them over the length of a 10-game season, which would be my one concern for Elgin.
And one of the issues for them is, I mean, they've got so much talent, but they're playing those kids on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you know, if you look at this week matchup against a team like Georgetown, if that game's close in the fourth quarter, you almost have to lean a little bit towards Georgetown just because they're going to be a little bit fresher. They're going to be coming off the ball a little bit harder.
And Georgetown's quarterback hasn't been playing linebacker.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I mean, those kids haven't played 90 plays in the game. You know, I mean, I still think Elgin has the better talent, but I think, you know, in a depth situation like that, you don't know which way you would lean. I mean, and I think that's what's going to make this Elgin Georgetown game really interesting. I think if Elgin can pull away in the first half, it'll be a different story than if that game's close in the second half.
And you saw that last week with Elgin when they played Vista Ridge. They won 28-7, but they were up 21-7 at halftime, and they really did let off the gas in the second half, which is probably just both by design of the score of the game and by design of, I'm not going to go out and kill my kids right now. I've got a 3-touchdown lead. I'm going to...
I think the coolest thing about this district is last year, you entered the season saying, these are the four teams going to the playoffs. Connolly, Georgetown, Maynard, Elgin. Period. This year, you can't say that. I mean, maybe three spots you're pretty strong are going to be made, but Eastview, Connolly, Hutto, and Bastrop should all compete for that final four spot. Looking at it, I mean, Bastrop's got some what I would call some confidence-building wins. Gonzales, probably a team that they're just bigger than. and then Akins. You know, those are confidence building wins. And then Conley, I think, going out playing Leander, playing Del Valle, and then beating LBJ has put them in the conversation to win it. And then you've still got Eastview, who is undefeated, even though I think they have probably played the weakest schedule out of all these teams.
Exactly. But, I mean, if you look at returning talent, obviously you look at Eastview because, I mean, they bring everybody back from last year. These kids are playing well together. They've got chemistry, and now they've got confidence. And that could be a really dangerous thing. You know, if they can come in this first week and play with and, you know, beat a Conley team, then they're going to...
It'll be difficult for them to make the playoffs if they lose to Conley. Because if Conley can beat this team, then it'll come down to probably the Conley-Hutto game, and then maybe the Bastrop game, too. But, I mean, I think every game that involves Conley is going to be one of the big playoff games here. Because Connolly's that team I don't think we're really sure on. I mean, they've got Landon Nobles, who's really good. They got a bunch of running backs who's getting a lot of carries. But their defense has been torched. They had... I lost a lunch bet because I took a 21... I said Conley would beat LBJ by 3 touchdowns, and I was right. And then heading into the fourth quarter, I was right. And then, and then Conley winds up winning 36-35. So I think I think it's hard to get a read on Conley. But, man, I'll tell you what. We're going to know a lot about this district if it's when Connolly plays Eastview this week.
Exactly, and I think that this week is, in if you go down the schedule, this week will tell us a lot about this district. You've got Eastview and Connolly. You've got Hutto and Cedar Creek. Hutto's really struggled through their non-district schedule. I mean, Cedar Creek's going to that game thinking it's in play.
Well, yeah. Hutto lost to LBJ
14-7,
and then
believe.
Connolly beat LBJ.
Yeah,
Hutto struggled to beat McCallum last week. I mean, and you know, there's nothing wrong with McCallum, but that's not at the same level as you expect a 17-4A team to be.
Theoretically, when you look at how things match up, you would think that in of all the Austin 4A districts, 17-4A, 25-4A, they should be winning those matchups with 26-4A teams. You look at those where those are the games they're supposed to go in and win, and those. Almost confidence builders in non-district play. So when you're struggling with those teams, that's kind of a bit of a question mark on Hutto there.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Well, I think a team like LBJ could be competitive in 17-4A.
I think LBJ has shown itself to be a pretty decent football team.
I mean, they should
this
win
year.
That. They should win that football game. Are they going to win? They're going to win a playoff game when they get in the bye district round. Probably not. But no, I mean,
because they'll run it because bye district out for 26-4A.
They'll be in Division I and they'll play either Cedar Park or Leander.
Well, they'll play Rouse. They'll play Leander. They'll play a team that is going to be numbers wise 4 times the size of their program. And
is there any way that we can just give the Simmons brothers co-player of the year
right now? Just get it over.
I tried making a case for Eastview's running back Garcia as maybe a player of the year. There's Lacalle at Georgetown, but I mean,
there's Tyrone Owens at Camden, Maynard.
Yeah, and then there's Camden Lepley at Georgetown. But this is a mute argument. It's between the Simmons brothers.
The underrated thing about the Simmons brothers is you look at them and they're not the largest frame, but you don't realize how strong they are until you see them running into the line. And I mean, I remember watching last week, late in that game, even when they're still running out there because they don't have depth, they're putting a backup running back, they're running into the pack of Vista Ridge linebackers and still getting that 2 to 3 yard push. Where, I mean, you don't realize how strong those two kids are until you see them play live. You look at their build and you're like, okay, those two kids are probably fast and they get open space, but they're. They both have a little bit of a power game to them that you don't expect till you see them play.
And Daytran Simmons has got 10 rushing touchdowns in 3 games.
I mean, he had 4 last week. And,
that's ridiculous.
And then
70 points in 3 games. I got some teams in my.
That have a score.
Okay, well maybe not in District 16-5A. Holy moly, play some defense. But there's some teams that won't get to 70 wins by week 5, 70 points by week 5.
Yeah.
When side note there, when I covered Johnny Manziel's senior year, he had more passing yards and touchdowns than three whole districts combined in the San Antonio area. I think he doubled touchdowns for like 70% of the area too. But yeah, so it's 10 touchdowns in 3 games is pretty good. It's going to be a fun district to cover.
He's got a kick return too, I think, for a touchdown. I think it's like 10 rushing and 1 kick return.
Yeah. Well, I think but again, I think it's tough to figure out this district because the non-conference schedule for the 4 undefeated teams is just, I don't know if you really know a lot about them. I mean, I think Georgetown's probably the one team that you probably know the most out of that undefeated is in, okay, they're still a good team. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, how much do we really know about Maynard and Elgin, the schedule they played? I mean, they played two tough, they played Vista Ridge and they played Leander. But
in Maynard, you look at a team where it's really hard to judge that Leander game because we've talked about this before. When Leander lost to Hendrickson 2 weeks ago, Everything that could possibly go wrong in a football game did for Leander. And then when they went into Maynard, that kind of snowballed into the first half against Maynard. Maynard beat Leander 32-27, but it was 14-0 at halftime. So Leander went out and won the second half. It's just they were playing from, they just dug themselves too big of a hole in the first half. So it's hard to judge that game on score alone with who Maynard is.
Well, Maynard runs into a little bit of the same problem Elgin does. Their numbers aren't, they're a very small 4A school. And I mean, they're going to run, when they're playing a team like Leander, they're probably going to get outscored in the second half 90% of the time because I mean their kids are going both ways in most cases. And I mean, it's another case of both Maynard and Elgin are very very probably have a starting 11 on both sides of the ball that can compete with anybody, but it's just a matter of wearing down over the course of a game that, you know, the fourth quarter they're going to get outscored.
Maybe I'm just overvaluing how important a non-district schedule is if you want to make a run in district and in the playoffs. But, you know, frankly, the teams I've covered since I've been in Texas, you know, you got Westwood's scheduling Cedar Park and Lake Travis and Bowie, three teams that are going to make the playoffs. When I was in Kerrville, they would always schedule Lake Travis and Cibolo Steel and San Antonio Madison, some of the toughest non-conference schedules you will ever find in the country. Kerrville Tybee used to play. And I always felt like the tougher your non-district schedule was, the better you were going to be throughout the season. Because if you were tested early, then comes district, and it's almost like the games are easier because you're always going to get 2 or 3 weaker district opponents.
And I remember covering Leander when Steve Gideon was there, and you know, they'd go 1-3 in non-district every year and then compete for a district championship.
Just like, Leander right now is coming off its first losing streak since 2011. But that 2011 year, they started 0-3, finished 9-4. So
won the district and won the district. That was Harper's Clint Harper's first year, and everybody was all over him because he was his first year coach, and he started out like 0-3, and all of a sudden he was like unbeatable in district. Mm-hmm. I think they beat Westwood.
They went undefeated in district.
Yeah. And that was the thing. Westwood was supposed to win that district. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so I think this district's going to be fun. Preseason Coach of the Year, who do you think it is?
Preseason Coach of the Year?
Coach of the Year. Because we all agree the Simmons brothers are the co-player of the year.
I don't even think it's a question. I think the Jace LaCalle guy at Georgetown will probably wind up winning Defensive Player of the Year.
Or Anthony Nash from Elgin. He's also very good. But Coach of the Year, man, it's going to be tough. I think right now because of, and it makes me sound a little bit like a homer, but where Bastrop was last year and where they are this year going into district, I'd have to go with Todd Patman. He is really, like he's up the expectations at the Bastrop program. They've won 2 games in a row where every player I talked to was mad after the game was over. And you know, that's always a good sign whenever teams are still looking on improving after 3 weeks. And right now, I'd go with Pat.
Another sidebar, is there like a more oftentimes lame award than Coach of the Year? Because usually they just give it to whichever coach won the district.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you're sitting there like, Yeah, but this coach got his team to the playoffs for the first time in such and such years. Like, how is he not getting honored for this?
If you're looking at preseason coach of the year, if we're talking about Eastview competing for a playoff spot,
yes,
their coach has to be coach of the year. If they get a playoff spot in their second year varsity program, correct?
If Georgetown wins the district, then Jason Dean will be the head coach of Central Texas.
If not the entire state.
Yeah. I think if Conley makes the playoffs, holy moly, Howard McMahon's got to be in the conversation. I mean, outside of Georgetown, I don't think there is a team in the Central Texas area that lost as many playmakers as Connolly did. Dave Payton, I think everybody forgets how good he was last year in this district. And DeJuan Williams didn't put up huge numbers last year because his team was so far ahead that he usually only played a half.
But I remember watching him, and he was so impressive on third downs. I mean, if it was a third down in less than 10, you could almost count on him to pick it up.
There's a good chance that they might have made it to the regional finals had he not gotten hurt, because they were beating Nederlands in that playoff game, almost beating Nederlands with Dave Payton playing this dual running back quarterback and Landon Nobles, who hadn't started a playoff game, kind of coming in to throw deep balls. But if he had stayed healthy, that they might have beaten that Nederlands team.
And they were Division I last year, right?
Right. Okay. They're the biggest school in the district.
Right.
You know, they're not too far off of going back to 5A if you look at their numbers.
What are their numbers?
They're over 2,000. So, okay. I mean, you know, you get about 2,500, you're in the 5A range. I think Hendrickson is somewhere between 21 and 2,300 kids, and they're in the 5A range. They're the smallest team in District 16 5A. So Connolly's right up there. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I think they'll stay 4A.
With their number, it sounds like this, with this alignment number, I believe Rouse's numbers have gone up since the last official number, but they'd be the biggest team in 25-4A if that number sounds good.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's that between 2,000 and 2,500 is really the range. And, you know, if you're in that range, I think some teams will petition to stay. Because they'll have the option of whether they'll stay.
Or some teams will petition to go up.
Yeah, I think Aikens petitions to go up every year. I think their enrollment numbers are 4A enrollment numbers in every year.
And that surprises me.
Anderson, for example, goes up and petitions to play 5A. And basically, I dug more into this week because Anderson is playing Vandegrift. Anderson is 4A numbers but plays 5A, not for varsity kids, but for sub-varsity kids. Because if they were in the Austin school district for 4A, they have all these JV kids that could go each week not knowing if they'd have a game or not. Because
of those other programs.
Because those teams don't have the JV program. So they sacrifice the varsity success so they can have the numbers and the opportunities for sub-varsity kids.
And I've also heard another reason why they do it is the band.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
I've heard the band. And, you know, frankly, if they drop down to, if a team like Anderson dropped down, they would dominate basketball every year. So, I mean, I guess 5A, it makes it cooler that they go to the state tournament or go near the state tournament. But, yeah, if they were in 4A, boy, what a matchup that would be when they play teams like Georgetown.
They have 4A numbers, and they're playing Vandegrift this week. But, I mean, Anderson would be the fourth largest school in District 25-4A.
This district, 17-4A is a district that I think will potentially look a lot different next year after this realignment.
Oh, yes. I've been talking with some people in Bastrop about what could happen, and, you know, teams like Bastrop and Cedar Creek could end up in 27-4A, 28-4A. You know, they could end up going down south with the Hazes.
I've had a conversation with the Georgetown athletic director, and he's really pushing that. He would like to see his teams with the Leander schools in a district.
It makes sense because they had a lot more traditional rivalries because Georgetown, Leander, and Cedar Park, all those schools were in the same 5A district for years and years. So it would make sense for them to want to be there as opposed to going to Bastrop. I think Bastrop just doesn't want to get in the same situation that Lockhart was in the last district, where Lockhart has to travel to Kerrville. And, you know, I think, looking at that district, you know, Kerrville would much rather play in the San Antonio region, where they were, for 2 years with the Manziel era and the Park McNeil era, where they didn't lose a district game.
It would seem to me, though, that the one benefit Bastrop has is that it is Two Creeks there, Elgin's there, that I think those three teams, as long as they're all the same size, will be in the same
and
district.
And Manor probably as well.
Yeah, I would imagine they would stay in the same district.
I could see a district that includes those four teams, the 290 teams, you could say 290-71 teams, plus Lockhart, which that's five teams, Seguin, and then Lehman.
Or Dripping Springs, maybe.
Well, I think what you'd be looking at is Kyle Lehman, Seguin, Hayes, Bastrop, Cedar Creek, Elgin, Manor, which is seven teams, and that's a good district.
Yeah, that would make sense. That would make sense travel-wise. I think, Bastrop's really in a situation where they can get grouped. They can group like they are right now with some of the North Austin schools. They can get grouped all the way out east. I think that they were in a district with some of the teams from College Station in the past. Mm-hmm. They could get...
Well, you know, you look at... If they did that, if they put the Hayes and Seguin and Lehman in with those 290-71 teams, think about what the other district would be. You'd have New Braunfels Canyon, probably San Marcos, Kerrville Tivy, Bernie Champion.
Wasn't San Marcos 5A?
They usually teeter, though.
Yeah, they teeter. They were in 4A when I first got down here.
Yeah.
And then Alamo Heights. That would be a really strong district in the San Antonio area.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think up here, the 17-4A district would be completely changed if that happened.
Yeah.
Because you'd have Connolly, Eastview, Georgetown kind of trying to find people to go with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You're never going to know what the UIL does. It always seems like it's a lot easier with the 4A and 5A than it is.
I think a fun future lunch bet. We could each all three draw up our projected alignment, and whoever's the farthest has to pay for lunch. That could be a fun projected lunch bet.
And then it would be the biggest letdown ever when nothing changes.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I've looked at, I did an interactive map a few years ago, right before the last realignment when I was in Marble Falls, and just drew the lines of districts. And it's a ridiculous lines. There's no rhyme or reason to a lot of the things that they do.
Well, how great would it be if all of a sudden Fredericksburg bumped up to a 4A, which won't happen, and then you could have Kerrville, Fredericksburg, Dripping Springs, and Marble Falls in a Hill Country district.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of cool. But Fredericksburg's never going to jump up to a 4A.
That's in February. So back to just week four in general. Well, 17-4A starts district play. 16-5A, 25-4A, still in non-district play this week. So, Joe, when you look at those slate of games, what are some of the non-district games you see that entice you this week?
Well, I mean, 16-5A continues its stretch of probably collectively the toughest non-district schedule in there. That's weighted heavily because of Westwood. Again, kind of like when you look at Round Rock ISD grades, and, it's like you got really good grades from all the schools, and then all of a sudden it's blasted up when you factor in Westwood's averages, because Westwood's such a good academic school. Westwood's non-district schedule just makes the whole district look a lot better when you factor in that they've played Cedar Park and who they had this week, and Lake Travis and Bowie. And then there's so many schools that play the same teams. Round Rock Belton is an interesting game. I think that's a game that's going to be a shootout. I think Round Rock could take advantage of the defense. They should score points like Stony Point did a couple weeks ago when Stony Point scored 56 on Belton. I expect Round Rock's offense to have a big day. Stony Point plays Thursday night against Colleen, so we'll have a lot of the kangaroos hopping down here. And that should be a good game. Again, I would say if you're going to make a line, I'd probably say Stony Point would be favored. I mean, Stony Point's 2-1, scoring a lot of points.
I'd say the game that intrigues me most between, if you're looking at our cross coverage, is that Leander Pflugerville game on Friday night.
Oh, that's...
It's a game that I think, just because the teams are 1-2, is flying under the radar.
Well, I think what's interesting is for the second year in a row, both these teams enter the game with identical records,
yeah.
But it couldn't be further from what it was last year.
Yep.
When this was, I remember writing the preview last year, it was the biggest game in the state of Texas. You had undefeated Leander, undefeated Pflugerville, both the top, I think both were in the top three teams in the area. I mean, I think Pflugerville started the season number two preseason. I think they had dropped down because their wins weren't as impressive as the pollsters liked. But, I mean, this is a huge game, and this is a good game. And whoever wins this will be feeding into the following week.
Both teams, I believe. I don't know who Pflugerville is the next week, but both teams.
Pflugerville has a bye the week after.
Okay.
So,
but for Leander, this is the kind of, this is the stopgap, fix your problems, because looking down the road, the next week is Cedar Park to open district play. So this game for Leander is huge in the fact where you started fixing things in the second half against Maynard. You really need to get them in order before you go into that first week of district play for Leander. And it's going to be, there are two teams where it's kind of interesting, because I go through in our paper each week, I look up the all-time series for each game, and we cover some newer schools where, for instance, like looking at my paper right now, Rouse and Del Valle are playing, have only played one time. This is a game that, talking to Coach Lee Bridges, who was back in the Austin School District in the early 90s, and his wife actually used to teach at Pflugerville, remembers this being used to be a big traditional rivalry, because these schools used to be the only show in town for 70 years.
Well, they were in the same district for so many years. So, you look at this team, this year's group. Pflugerville lost a lot of guys last year. We know the story there. I think 46 seniors. They have size on the field. They're big offensive linemen. And they've got tons of kids in the program. So you got two factors, and then you've got one of the better coaches in Central Texas. So they got the three factors to be really successful. And you talk to Coach Herman, and even when they lost, you didn't get a sense that he was really mad, because he just knows that these kids are just inexperienced.
And they looked pretty good in the first half against Reagan last week. San Antonio Reagan. They looked pretty good. They looked pretty good in the first half. Reagan came back in the second half. But they did pretty good. They had a good showing in the first half. And it's a team that you can tell is, I haven't watched them play, but talking to people in the area, you can tell it's a team that is looking for that. They're 75% of the way there. It's that last quarter of connecting on things to get it done.
They're a team that is the scariest team heading into District 16-5A, because they're the one team you can't get a read on.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what Stony Point is this year, and we know what Round Rock is this year. I don't think we really know what Westwood is this year. Hendrickson, we know what they're capable of. Cedar Ridge, kind of know. McNeil, kind of know. Pflugerville, though, they have the ability to score a lot of points. You know that they have the athletes and the ability to play good defense. But they've played a very sneaky, really tough schedule. Reagan's a team that should make the playoffs out of there. Bowie's a team that's going to make the playoffs out of there. And then Austin High, for all we know, they might finish 0-4 in non-district, but frankly, they should make the playoffs in a relatively weak district in 15-5A.
Mm-hmm.
So Pflugerville has a tough non-district schedule. Leander only makes it even more difficult to tell what they're going to be like in district. If they beat Leander, though, every team in this district, all the coaches, when I go to make it, they'll be singing Pflugerville's praises as a team that should make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're dangerous. I mean, the problem is with them, and it's a positive thing for Leander, is Christian Levy really messed them up for what they were planning on doing this year. I mean, that was a kid that was supposed to be the option QB, went through all spring. He transferred back to Leander in the offseason.
And he'll be lining up against
Pflugerville on Friday night. He was supposed to be the option QB that Pflugerville wanted. When he didn't get back, they probably had an even better option to play that position in Caleb Horton, who probably is more athletic. Caleb plays basketball. He's so athletic and such a good football player that they're playing him on defense. He's the kick returner. He's the leading receiver. He's one of the leading rushers, and he'll play quarterback. So But it's the fact that they had to move him there. They had to move him there late in August.
And not have spring to work on it can be a detriment.
And you look at Zach Milner has played fairly well through the first few games. He's running a lot. And, you know, Pflugerville loves running the option. They're not going to pass that much at Pflugerville, no matter how much they try to get the newspapers to write that they will. You know, they're going to run the football. It's what Pflugerville does, and they're doing it at a pretty good rate. And they got the offensive linemen to do it. So I think Leander's in for a good matchup, and Pflugerville is too.
Leander, I'm interested to see this week, is one thing they started doing, and the transition really started last week against Maynard, is Darian McClatcher has kind of gone from that scat back speed guy who was carrying the ball on second and short, third and short, and breaking off those long runs to actually being a workhorse.
Yeah.
Had 33 carries last week, which is kind of a...
But if I remember, his yards per carry isn't too high right now.
His yards per carry aren't too high because of there was two big negative plays against Hendrickson where they gave him negative yards because he recovered a fumble like 20 yards back.
That'll happen against Hendrickson.
So his yards per carry aren't that high right now, but he has... It's something where, if looking at between the stats, where stats don't tell the whole story, he's becoming that workhorse where he's actually being the guy who can, instead of in addition to being the guy who can beat you down the sideline, he's been able to run through between the tackles and add a little bit of that rushing attack down the middle of the game, which has really opened up the play-action passing attack for Leander, who, when they get that going, they have the quarterback who can put the ball where it needs to be, and I think this is the week I really think you could see the offense finally click like it did against Connolly and rebound after just three terrible halves.
And for a team like Leander, you know, the scary thing is if they lose this game, they could be sitting a couple weeks. Like, we've lost four straight, you know, mm-hmm. and then, you know.
I'm sure almost everyone in the area, anyone except those people within the confines of Leander High School, are going to pick Cedar Park to beat Leander following week. So if you're looking at Leander, you're looking at a loss this week, everyone's going to expect you to have lost four straight already.
That is until the Westwood Warriors come in and expose Cedar Park, right?
That game.
It could happen. Hey, you know what? I would say you could make a strong argument that Westwood is the best 1-2 team in the area.
You could say that.
You could make an argument.
Here's the one way I could see Westwood beating Cedar Park. And that's the one fallacy in Cedar Park's defense so far throughout the season has been they've let up some big plays. They've had some younger players let up busts. Last week against Harker Heights, they allowed a 94-yard kickoff return and a kid had a 98-yard run that didn't result in a touchdown. A 98-yard run from one-yard line to the next one-yard line. And then they also let up some big plays in week zero against Westlake, a couple big plays against Cooper. The one fallacy Cedar Park's had is they have had some big breaks on defense where they've been really good. And those big plays have come on, like, they've held the team to, like, 3rd and 10. And then somehow a kid sneaks through the pass and goes for 70 yards. So the one and Westwood has the quarterback who could connect with someone for big plays. That is the one way I would see Westwood beating Cedar Park in this game.
Well, the biggest thing that you have to just get out of your mind is the 53-14 score against Lake Travis, because there was there was a lot of bad non-calls in that game. Having watched the tape on that, there was a blatant block in the back right in front of the ref. The ref didn't throw the flag. And, you know, it's 39-0. They got outscored 39-0 in the second half, and you say, well, you know, a couple bad calls won't do that. But when you get flagged for 45 yards on one play, you know, it's going to lead to touchdowns. And there was a lot of bad calls in that game.
Fair to say some of the officials from the Lake Travis Westwood game will be on Coach Wood's blacklist for next year?
there were a lot of bad calls in that game. And... you know, if you look at it, they're winning that game 16-14 at halftime, Westwood is, on the road. They gave up some plays. I think that Westwood has the gunslinger and the receivers to beat anybody in the area on their best day. I think that it's homecoming that might spur some stuff. It's definitely a tough matchup for them. It's definitely a game that Westwood's not favored to win. But if anybody thinks that Westwood's going to get absolutely blitzed and destroyed and beaten, they need to remember that this was a very close game last year when both of these teams' defenses were better. Yeah. And Cedar Park's defense has given up a lot of yards this year compared to the past season, right? I mean, they've back-to-back 400-yard game.
Last year this game was 12-9. Mm-hmm. In all reality, it was 12-7. Cedar Park had the ball, and Cedar Park ran out the clock and ran out of the back of its end zone for 2 points at the end of the game. But 12-9, a game where there's only two touchdowns scored in the entire game, I don't think we'll see that at all.
I
think we'll see a bit of a shootout.
The way Fenimore and Grimm are playing, mm-hmm. I mean, Fenimore already has more than 1,000 yards passing in three games. And then Grimm's, I think, it's
685, and passed for four touchdowns last week. He had six total touchdowns against what? Grimm's got 10 total touchdowns passing and rushing for himself between.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a good game, and that's the whole point of why Anthony Woods schedules Lake Travis and Cedar Park as homecoming games, because he doesn't want to schedule some team that they're going to beat by three touchdowns. He wants to give fans a good game, and I think that's great. I think every team should do that.
But most teams don't.
They don't. Most teams want to win.
Looking at our friend Danny Davis down at the Statesman did this math for us. He went and looked at the homecoming games for the 51 UIL schools in the Austin area, and only 12 scheduled it against a team that had a winning record from last year.
And that blows my mind, because how great would that be? Who's the home team next week in that Leander-Cedar Park game?
Next week, the home team, that game's at Gupton, so Cedar Park's the home team.
How great would it be if Cedar Park just did their homecoming game against Leander? Mm-hmm. You have everybody come in for the biggest, probably the biggest rivalry. Mm-hmm. I think Vista Ridge would scream that that's the bigger game. But how great would that be if that was homecoming? I like his idea.
Poor Anderson, a team we talked about earlier, is four different teams homecoming this year.
Going back to my days as a mediocre high school football player, our team went 1-9 my senior year, and we were a part of six homecoming games, including our own.
For the life of me, I can't remember any of the teams we played at homecoming when I was a high school football player.
I was not a high school football player.
So I know. See, that's why I know that there was some bad calls there, because when I was watching the tape there, I saw a lot of offensive linemen holding the Lake Travis players, Lake Travis players holding defensive players, and I was the expert. I knew exactly what a hold was. I did every play in practice, so I never played on Friday night.
Well, I guess we should start wrapping things up. Two final features. We'll talk about our poll, and then we'll do our Joe and I will do our cold stone locks for the week.
And then we'll also say who's going to be ranked next week.
Exactly. So we'll want to do the locks first or the poll first?
Well, let's go through the poll here.
Okay.
Because we have another voter, fellow voter here. Okay, so the number one team, unanimous number one, nobody even questioned it.
Once again.
Was Hendrickson. Quite frankly, they made Vandegrift look really bad. Mm-hmm. So, and Vandegrift is in the ranking. They're
seven
here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Hendrickson looks really good. I mean, he had one guy, Chance Waz, four turnovers, two interceptions, a touchdown, two fumble recoveries. He's really good. I mean, they don't even need the running games that they have. I mean, mm-hmm. they don't need Samaje Perine to rush for, 150 yards every game.
That game was, as you and I talked about this, was even more dominant than stats will say. One of our other colleagues mentioned how, Vandegrift contained Hendrickson's rushing attack.
When you're up 21-7,
yes.
Or 20, when you're up like 27-0, something like that, you don't need to pound it on. You don't need to score points.
Yeah.
That game was never in doubt.
No, not at all. And so after Hendrickson, we have Cedar Park at number two. Third, Lake Travis leaps up to number three.
And I had, now I'll admit, in my rankings, I had Lake Travis number two. I'm glad they weren't number two after I saw the tape and how they won. But when you just vote and you see the score and you mm-hmm. see the yards, The three is probably better than number two. I don't know if they'll beat. I don't know if they could beat Cedar Park.
Yeah, I think it's a fair. Lake Travis at three is pretty fair. They jumped over Westlake from Westlake and Lake Travis flip flop from last week from 3 to 4, and then we go to number 5 with the team with the biggest jump of the week, jumping from not ranked to number 5 at Rouse. And
yeah, I think I like Rouse there. I don't know if they should be ranked higher than Stony Point, but because Stony Point's only loss was by 4.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that there's some
I think it's a fair assessment. Good schedule. I mean, it's definitely a good schedule for Rouse. We talked about 17-4A teams. Their combined non-district set teams were, what, 9-26, I think you said?
Right.
Rouse's non-district opponents are combined 7-2, those two losses being both to Rouse. They lost to Hendrickson. They beat Cedar Ridge, a good team that we have ranked. They beat a good Hayes team last week. So I think it's fair up there. I guess you could split hairs between them and Stony Point. It's kind of hard to judge, but
I think that's what it was. I think what the points for Rouse was 23-18. I think were the points.
You could see that our top. If you look at the point totals, our top six are pretty solid, and then the point totals kind of drop quite a bit when you get to number 7.
Yeah, after that, because it's kind of just how the season's gone in ACN. I mean, it's wide open.
Yeah. So, like, number 7, you have a Vandegrift team that stayed at number 7,
I think it was Bastrop got a vote 7, and it wasn't Chris.
It was not me. No, yeah. I've been enjoying watching the Bears play, but they're not the number 7 team, like somebody else thinks.
The number 7 team was Vandegrift.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have Vandegrift. I think I had Vandegrift 9.
I believe I had Vandegrift around the 8th or 9th spot in my poll. I know Thomas Jones gave Vandegrift some love in his.
I don't know. I guess I just didn't see Vandegrift's true strength because quarterback Jamie Hudson wasn't playing, and then they lost 3 quarterbacks in that game, and they played the number 1 team, so it's kind of hard to judge. Yeah. But man, Vandegrift sure did make them look bad on Friday, and I think that might just be because Vandegrift's really good this year. Yeah.
Then after Vandegrift, we have Vista Ridge, who lost to Elgin last week, a team that. They lost 28-7 to Elgin, but
could have used
Stedman Mayberry, and could have not tossed to could have and play calling wise not could have not gone first 6 plays of the game incompletion interception.
Well, we've both seen Vista Ridge play, and we can both safely say that their strength is probably not their passing game.
I mean, this is a Vista Ridge team that came out and tried to throw the first 6 plays of the game, and then in the second quarter conducted a 19-yard drive without Stedman Mayberry running the ball 18 times.
Side note here before we move on the poll, if the Bastrop Advertiser still had Elgin as a team in our coverage area, where would they be ranked? I'd say they'd be ranked in the top 4 or 5, right?
Yeah, I mean,
they would push Rouse.
They would probably push Rouse.
I think you can't see them jumping over a Lake Travis or a Westlake.
I could see them at 5.
Yeah.
Right now. Uh-huh. Then after Vista Ridge, we have Cedar Ridge, a team that's dropped in and out of the rankings every week now.
They've been around there. You know, they're gonna get ranked when they beat Austin High that much. And you know what? They will move up in the rankings because they faced a MacArthur team that's 0-3 and not looking good. But the fact that they got to go down to San Antonio and play them, then if they win, I think they'll clearly be pushing Vandegrift and Vista Ridge for those 7 and 8 spots. And depending on what happens with Stony Point, Rouse could be in there. I mean,
yeah.
They're gonna. Looking at the stats, they could have an impressive looking day against MacArthur. I mean, MacArthur's given up almost 500 yards a game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Number 10, you have the Bastrop Bears in at number 10.
I mean, they really you look back at what we were talking about with 17-4A earlier. Haven't really played an elite
team. Bear attack! Go ahead.
I'm glad we got to get that in there.
Yeah,
they haven't really played an elite team. I mean, Aikens and Gonzalez are what they are. I mean, those are both confidence-building wins. But the way they've been winning games is impressive. Their offense just gets better and better every week. And the ceiling, I think the ceiling is a lot higher for this team than people see from the outside that aren't around the program every day. I think this team could be very competitive and possibly be a real threat to make the playoffs this year.
Dropped out was Westwood and Leander, the 9-10 teams from last week. We always talk about
who's coming in and who's coming out next week, Sean.
The winner of the Leander-Pflugerville game is going in.
Okay. I'll take that. Who's dropping out?
Who's dropping out? I don't think the Bears are lasting very long.
I can see that. We'll have to see. Chris?
Let's see. Who's coming in next week? I've really got to go. I think Sean has a pretty good assessment there. Whoever wins that Lander-Pflugerville game is a top 10 ACN school, without a doubt. And who's coming out? Don't make me do this.
We'll skip it. Who do the Rangers have next week?
The Rangers have McCallum.
Okay. They'll stay.
Vandegrift has Anderson. We talked about that. Who's Rouse have next week?
Rouse is going to Del Valle.
They'll win that game.
Okay, they'll win that game. It's tough because I so much want to say that the team that's entering the rankings next week, because they'll have a 2-game winning streak, will be McNeil. I think they'll beat Austin High this week. I feel pretty confident about that.
If the Joe Harrington lobby machine works out, McNeil will be back in the rankings next week.
Well, you know, we'll have to see. Now, the issue is if Pflugerville beats Leander, Pflugerville will be there.
Mm-hmm.
If Round Rock beats Belton and finishes 2-2, they ought to be ranked in the smack dab middle of this poll. I'm surprised they haven't been. I've ranked them every week because it's not like they've been blown out once this season. It's just the fact is you got a lot of 2-1 teams, and it's hard to rank a 1-2 team over a 2-1 team.
Round Rock was probably pretty close. I know you did the math this week. They were probably pretty close behind Bastrop this week, correct?
I thought, yeah, they were pretty close. I thought that I look at who they've played,
mm-hmm.
and I think they've played a tough non-conference schedule. This team would be ranked 5th right now had they not lost in overtime to Temple in week 1 despite losing last week. They're a good team and they're scoring a lot of points. Just like Stony, they're a lot like Stony Point. Is if they could figure out how to get some stops on defense, we're talking about two elite teams that can score against anybody. I think Round Rock, Pflugerville both come in if they win. And I think even if Vandegrift and Vista Ridge pick up wins over Anderson McCallum, I still think you could make a really strong argument that Round Rock, Pflugerville deserve to get in the rankings over those teams, even if the win-loss record's there.
You could see it. I mean, it's definitely – Vandegrift, I think, is an interesting team because Hudson may or may not be back this week.
Mm-hmm.
They should beat Anderson, but it's something where they could be starting their fourth-string quarterback. So it's a type of team where – you never know. That's why they play the game.
Oh, let's also say this: if Bear Fenimore comes out and has a big game against Cedar Park, Westwood's going to be ranked 4th. All right. I mean, it's going to, if they finish 2-2 and they beat Cedar Park, they're going to be in the top 5 of this ranking.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Well, it's time.
Although
for...
there will be one person that votes that won't put Westwood in the top four because of what they did against Lake Travis.
Yes. It's not me. I'm just saying Michael, yes to confirm that.
You know, I give Michael at Westwood a lot of credit. I mean, I don't think he's... I think he was right there with me giving Lake Travis a pretty high ranking. But, I mean, he hasn't gone homer in his polls. I mean, he's... Mm-hmm. I think he's a pretty smart voter
so
far.
So, last feature of the week, we do our Stone Cold Lock.
Stone Cold Locks. What did we have last week?
I think we got them wrong, because I had Stony Point as my Stone Cold Lock last week. And then I saw Hendrickson, so I got that right.
I had Hendrickson, if I remember right.
No, because I picked the Flag and the Leader.
Oh, okay.
And you had...
I had Cedar Park.
You had Cedar Park.
Okay, so I won.
Yeah. So we went 2-1 last week, because Stony Point lost.
I will pick the Cedar Park Lander Statesman. Chris will pick the Flag.
Okay.
Or do you want the Leader?
Let him take the Flag.
I'll take the Flag.
Okay. And then Sean can pick Sean as the Leader. You got a higher chance at winning with the Leader.
He can take the Flag because I don't want to pick Hendrickson for a second week in a row.
All right. Let's go. Locks. Sean.
Let me see. Let me take a look at this Round Rock schedule.
I can roll through them.
Okay, roll through them real quick.
Okay, so we have Stony Point Killeen on Thursday.
Okay.
We have McNeil Austin High on Thursday.
You really want me to pick McNeil?
We have Westwood. We have Westwood Lake Travis on Friday. Westwood Cedar Park. We have Round Rock and Belton. And then we have Cedar Ridge MacArthur.
I'm going to go with the...
Cedar Ridge MacArthur.
I'm not going with Cedar Ridge MacArthur.
That's the biggest, that's the strongest lock in all of ACA.
I'm going to go with Round Rock Belton. I'm going to go with Round Rock Belton.
Round Rock Belton, that's a good one.
I'm going to go with, that'll be my lock of the week.
You know how last week I thought the over-under of the Round Rock Bowie game was 100 points? Well, this one could actually be 100 points. Stony Point beat Belton 56-46.
I'm gonna go with Round Rock in this
game. That's a bold lock. I like it.
I'm going with it.
You know, Belton, I'm trying to remember what Belton's schedule is. I think they're 0-2. But, you know, they can score some points. Of course, most of those points and most of those yards came against Stony Point, which is trying to figure things out on defense.
Yeah. Then I'll give you the quick rundown for the five CPL games. You have Rouse goes to Del Valle. You have Leander hosts Pflugerville. Cedar Park at Westwood. You have Vandegrift at Anderson and Vista Ridge at McCallum.
I will take the Vista Ridge Rangers to beat McCallum.
A homecoming?
Yeah. I'll take that. That's kind of an a pretty easy one. There's a handful of games that could sub in for that lock.
Yeah, that's one of this week four is kind of that week where you could tell that District 25-4 has a really strong schedule for the first 3 weeks.
Some teams wanted to test themselves before district. Some teams just wanted to get non-district over with.
That's a fair way to put it.
Yeah.
And now for Chris to close it out with the flag lock of the week.
All right. Let's hear the rundown.
Well, we've got Connolly and Eastview, which probably not a good lock because that's going to be a really good game. We've got Pflugerville
at Leander.
At Leander, good game. And then we've got Hendrickson playing the Bryan team, which
Bryan Rutter.
Bryan High School.
Oh.
Which I think.
Their
second year?
One or two,
or 0-3. One of those two.
Well, you know...
What does the flag say?
Let's see.
It's a really long preview. That's the only way we do it at the flag. I try to remember off the top of my head, but I've written about 8 of these previews in the past 2 days, so everything's kind of blending together.
Yeah, well, I hate to take the
it is homecoming. It is. Hendrickson didn't schedule him for homecoming.
I hate to take the blatantly obvious route, but I'm going to say that Hendrickson's going to have a really great homecoming, and everyone's going to go home really happy.
I think we do these pickings until one of us loses, right? So it's the eliminator pool. Oh, maybe that's another one we can do. All right, that's another element for the podcast. Pick the one team from this point on that you're going to pick that's going to win out.
It's going to win.
Yeah,
win
it's your
out.
Eliminator pool. Pick your one team that's going to win out.
I'm picking Cedar Park then.
Oh, that's a bold one because they got tough games.
I'm picking Cedar Park. Go.
Okay, that's your eliminator.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris.
It's going to win out for the rest of the year.
Well, I mean, who's going to have the longer winning streak?
Who's
going to
have
an eliminator?
Longer?
Come on, you pick a team at the beginning of the season. You go till they lose.
Okay. Man. Sean's already got Cedar Park. Man, I'm gonna go out on a limb. I'm gonna say Hendrickson. I'll stick with him.
I'm gonna go all Thomas Jones on you. The Chaps. I don't think the Chaps don't lose again until they have to play Hendrickson. Did I say that?
Well,
playoff alert. Playoff. I don't know.
Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in, and till next time, enjoy the games.
No outro music.